Gun transactions are rarely blocked in Utah due to mental illness, the child poverty rate is on the rise, and speed kills on I-80. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, December 20th. I'm Brian Grimmett.
From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Dan Bomas. Good morning. Utah law, as well as federal law, requires a background check to buy any kind of a firearm, and the state can deny a purchase based on a person's history of mental illness. But that happens only rarely. Dwayne Baird with the Utah Department of Public Safety says someone who has been found incompetent to stand trial or not guilty by reason of insanity would be ineligible, or others whose history of violence has been certified by a district court.
You have a history of violence, and you've been arrested for violent-type behavior. You've shown a propensity to commit violent acts, and the judge would then they're able to bring together a group of mental health professionals, experts, if you will, to evaluate your case.
Baird says the state processed more than 90,000 background checks over the past 12 months. It denied only 35 on the basis of mental illness. Almost 2,000 others were denied for different reasons, such as a felony conviction or a history of domestic violence. The law does not apply to private transactions between individuals.
Emily Parker's family is planning a public memorial service this evening before her funeral on Saturday. Emily was killed last Friday along with 19 other children and 6 adults at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. The service is planned for 7 p.m. at Bend Lomond High School in Ogden. The family is also encouraging the public to line the streets for the funeral procession at 11:30 on Saturday, but they've asked that the funeral and viewing remain private for family and close friends. Child poverty in Utah is on the rise, according to the latest information released by the U.S. Census Bureau yesterday. The number of Utah children living in poverty rose to almost 141,000 in 2011, bringing the state child poverty rate to 16.3%. The U.S. Census Bureau's Small Area Income and Poverty Estimate Survey also breaks the numbers down by county, and Utah's rural areas are the hardest hit. 7 counties have child poverty rates over 20%, and Paiute and San Juan counties have a rate more than 30%. Terry Haven from the nonprofit Voices for Utah Children says access to help is the biggest problem those areas face.
Well, that's really the big issue is the fact that they are rural areas, and so it's harder to get services to them. It's harder to make sure that those families are getting the information that they need and the services that children in urban counties can access very easily.
Haven suggests the state look into policies such as a state-earned income tax credit, high-quality preschool programs, and expanding access to Medicaid. While Utah's poverty rates are lower than the national average, they have been consistently on the rise over the past 4 years. The state with the highest child poverty rate is Mississippi.
Even as highway fatalities have been going down across Utah, they've been going up on Interstate 80 from Lake Point to Wendover. A big reason for that? Excessive speed. Dwayne Baird with the Utah Department of Public Safety says troopers have written more than 400 citations this year for vehicles going 100 miles an hour or faster. In a few cases, drivers have been caught doing 150.
Lots of bad things happen in a hurry when your vehicle leaves the roadway at 150 miles an hour, things you can't control and you won't be able to control, and you're not likely to survive in a crash at that speed.
Drunk driving and failure to wear seatbelts have also been factors in fatal accidents. The Highway Patrol plans to have extra troopers on I-80 through the last 2 weeks of the year. Magna residents will finally see the completion of the Main Street Road project thanks to a federal highway grant of $790,000. The Magna Livable Streets project will improve both sides of the road between 8300 and 8800 West. The project adds landscaping, safety upgrades like wider sidewalks and better lighting, plus improved access. Salt Lake County Mayor Peter Caroon says the project began during the first days of his administration in 2005.
And now in 2012, 2013, we'll do the rest of Magna Main Street. It's been a long time coming, and we're thrilled that we finally have the money available to do this project.
Caroon says there were 600 applicants for the federal grant money. Salt Lake County was one of only 83 to land the funding. He says it was successful because of the county's reputation for bringing good projects in on time and on budget.
The Utah Transit Authority Board met yesterday and approved a budget for next year that includes a 6% fare increase. But community activists are asking the transit agency to reduce its fares as a way of attracting more riders. Salt Lake Tribune reports they argued an increased tax subsidy for transit would benefit the larger community by taking cars off the road. Board Chair Greg Hughes invited the speakers to discuss their ideas with the board subcommittee. A woman has died after she tried to walk for help when her car got stuck during the snowstorm in southwestern Utah. Washington County deputies say the woman and a man were driving when their car got stuck in a rural area Tuesday night. They started walking, but the woman couldn't go any further and sought shelter while the man continued on and found help. Search crews found her dead a short time later. Pastor Robert Brooks woke up last Friday when someone began banging on the doors of Victory Baptist Church in Orem. Brooks lived in the basement of the church with his wife and children. He confronted the would-be intruder with a gun. Brooks says he could tell the man was drunk, and he made the man lie on the ground until police got there. The man was arrested and released on bail later. But Brooks says the visitor is welcome back at the church, and he'd love to minister to him. The Navajo Nation is moving toward taking over a coal mine that supplies one of two power plants on the reservation in an effort to preserve jobs and protect one of its top revenue sources. The tribe and BHP Billiton announced Wednesday they've outlined terms that would put the Navajo mine in the hands of the tribe in June. BHP would run the mine in northwestern New Mexico until 2016, when its agreement to supply coal to the Four Corners power plant is set to expire. Revenue generated by lease payments and royalties from the mine make up a large part of the tribe's annual revenue. And finally, the city of Ogden has decided to rename its police headquarters after an officer who was killed in the line of duty. It will be called the Frankham Public Safety Building after Jared Frankham, the officer who died as a drug strike force tried to serve a search warrant on a home in Ogden. Five other officers were wounded. The name change will take place at a ceremony January 4th. The man accused of shooting the officers, Matthew David Stewart, is still facing a trial in the case. And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, December 20th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, be sure to check us out online at KUER.org. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.